Well, here we are, episode 21 of our Getting to Know series. And for this edition, we have one of the sharpest shooters in Welsh football joining us. I'm very grateful to have Kane McLagan here. Kane, it's been an odd few months. Thanks very much for joining us. You kicked the football in anger for the first time again recently, I guess. How's it been for you this crazy period?
Yeah, it felt strange kicking the football for the first time in, well, probably the best part of 3 months, really. I haven't been able to do anything at all since the TNS game. I think it was March the 6th or 7th we played. So it's been strange. Never really had anything like this before in terms of not playing football. You know, we obviously had pre-seasons and off-seasons, but not this long where you can't even exercise at times, you know. So it's been obviously strange. Spent a lot of time with a partner and spent a lot of time in the house trying to keep myself busy, but it's been difficult. But I guess it's been difficult for everyone, you know, and just glad that we're kind of coming out of it now and being able to train properly and maybe see your relatives and get back to a bit of normality, which is good for everybody.
Yeah. Well, like we said previously with these podcasts, what we try and do is sort of tell the stories of the personalities and the people in our league who grab the headlines every week, the things people may not know. Because obviously we do a good job of promoting what goes on within the league, but maybe we don't tell the stories enough of where you've been before that and so on, and your beginnings in the game. I'd like to bring up quite a good five-a-side team, actually. I mean, there's you, there's Gareth Bale, there's Morgan Schneiderlin, Oxlade-Chamberlain, I think, and Adam Lallana. I mean, that can win a few. I don't know who's going in goal. I don't know, are you volunteering for that? But there's a good...
I think I'd have to go in goal there, wouldn't I? I think... I don't quite match the talent of them lads, so I think I'd definitely be. Well, I don't think I'd make the team first of all, obviously. But if anything, I'd be in goals. But I can play goalkeeper. I've done that before. I'm not blessed with height, but I feel like I've got some good reflexes, so I'd give it a go.
And you know, that's the caliber of player though that you developed with as a youngster. I mean, what an experience that must have been for you in a number of ways. You know, being away from home and all this as well. But to play against those kinds and with those kinds of players in your formative years.
Yeah, great memories of obviously being most of them at Southampton, all of them at Southampton. Gareth Bale more so with the Wales representative squads in the 15-16s. Yeah, unbelievable. Obviously, I didn't really know, especially with Gareth Bale and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, I didn't know how good they were at the time or how good they would become. And it wasn't that clear, I've got to be honest. A lot of people who probably know Gareth Bale at 14, 15 struggled with his growth, and he wasn't quite the, you know, as explosive and quick as he is obviously now. And he kind of got that overnight, really, with growing into his shape, if you like. And Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, the same. He was playing down in age groups. So at Southampton, we were allowed to kind of play, if you're in the 14, you play in the 13, for example. And he kind of developed that way by playing against lads his own size, because he struggled with his size as well at a young age. And he's not the biggest now, but he kind of filled out, and you can see that in him now. So, yeah, but like I said, it was unbelievable to be around players at that age. And it wasn't just them players. I think Southampton's obviously a really, really strong academy, and some of the top talents in world football have come from that academy. You know, you've got your Walcotts, Dave McGoldrick, Dexter Blackstock, lads who maybe don't get a mention, but they were all real top draw at the time as well, and still are, obviously. So, yeah, great to be around them. And I used to just kind of think I was in the wrong room sometimes when I was when I was playing with them, because there was so much talent there. And, yeah, they were just great times.
And do you look back on those times and sort of think, you know, I'm not asking you to name anyone here either, but, you know, do you think, I didn't think they'd make it, or I did think they'd make it? And, you know, how sort of ruthless, I guess, is that environment?
Oh, absolutely. So just a bit of a context. I moved away at 16, and we all, as scholars, so when you leave school and you become a scholar or an apprentice, if you like, you go and live in a house at Southampton. So it's called The Lodge, and all the scholars, first years and second year apprentices, they all live together. So you can imagine 18 to 25 lads living together under one roof. It's very competitive. It's almost dog eat dog, and you know, the banter's flying, and if you can't kind of take it, you'll fall away. And so it makes you mentally strong. but also you form great bonds through living with somebody, but living with 25 lads as well, and then going to train with them every day, spending 24/7 with them for, you know, the best part of 2-3 years. You forge great bonds, but like I said, it does test you. It does test you. And I know I think it's kind of been done away with now in terms of academies. They don't really use that model of living together anymore. I think Chelsea did it, and I think Chelsea made a program on it way back when. But I think it was a great environment to be around. It definitely made me into I wouldn't say a man, but, you know, it made me grow up really quickly, living at home with your parents where things are maybe done for you, and, you know, at school things are kind of done for you, aren't they? Whereas you go into that environment and, like I said, it's dog eat dog, and you've got to do everything to keep yourself fit, keep yourself sharp in training, and just keep yourself on the ball day to day, because, like I said, you know what lads are like living together. You know, it's not, you know, the week maybe can fall away. So, but like I said, they were really great times, and I really enjoyed it. I think probably because I'm maybe more of a, I wouldn't say stronger personality, but somebody who probably would stand up for themselves. Maybe it suited my character. Whereas some lads did struggle with it, and some lads kind of fell away, even though they were real talented players. So it's tough.
You mentioned it was a real challenge, but you came through that challenge and you signed your professional forms in September 2007, I think, when you turned 17. Not long afterwards, I think you had your debut as well on Boxing Day. It might have been the year after. Not a bad Christmas present, that. Yeah, I think you had your debut on Boxing Day. If I read correctly, you had your first assist 2 days later and you had your first 2 goals a month after that. So it all ended.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think it was my 17th birthday. So I'm born in September, as you know. And so when I moved at 16 or finished school at 16, I kind of turned 17 within about 2 months of moving. And you can sign professional terms at 17. So I was only kind of on apprentice terms for 2 months or whatever. And I signed as a pro at 17, and they were great times, obviously. And then did okay in my first year as an apprentice. You obviously play under 18s, but I was under 17 at the time, so I was a year below, if you like, playing against lads a year older, but holding my own. And then the next year, I was made youth team captain and did well for the first 2 months. And like you said, I got into the first team around Christmas time. You say it was a good Christmas, but I do remember getting the call on Christmas Eve. The apprentices would go home because there'd be no games over Christmas in the academy program, as there are, and I think it's still the same. So I got the call on Christmas Eve from, I think it was my academy manager at the time, and he said, you know, you're travelling with the first team on for Boxing Day game. And I was thinking, oh, great, you know, I'll meet you down there on Boxing Day down at Plymouth. He's like, no, you come in Christmas Day, 12 o'clock Christmas Day, you'll be training, and then you'll travel down to Plymouth Christmas night. So I was like, what? I didn't understand that you kind of play football over Christmas. I'd never played football over Christmas, so I thought, you know, I used to love having a Christmas dinner with my parents, and I used to go back to Barry, obviously, and spend Christmas with my family. And I had to have Christmas dinner, I remember, about 10 a.m., which wasn't great, and then drive up to Southampton on Christmas Day. Roads were dead, and I think it was just me and my mate on the road driving up there, and we trained and then traveled down to Plymouth. So my Christmas night in 2008, I think it was in a Hilton hotel in Plymouth. So it wasn't the best Christmas, but it was worth it, obviously, making it the debut the next day. And then I came on, my parents came down to Plymouth. They used to come to every game. So wherever it was in the country, they would come travel wherever they were. And that was massive for me. It was a huge support that I could lean on. And yeah, it's great. Made my debut on Boxing Day. And then 2 days later, we played against Reading. And I came on and set up Dave McGoldrick for the equaliser. So it was, like I said, obviously a good Christmas, great Christmas, and I wouldn't change it. But yeah, it's just a fun story I like to tell people, because it was obviously the first time I'd not really spent Christmas with my family, and I was like I said, in a hotel on Christmas Day.
Emotionally, what are you going through in an experience like that? Are you just running on adrenaline and excitement, or are you really, really nervous that, you know, you've worked for this all your life in a way, and here it is, and, you know, don't mess it up sort of thing? Or, because you didn't mess it up, obviously, you did really well, but how are you feeling at that point?
I've got to be honest, I think if it was now or like in the last few years, I'd be really nervous. But the innocence of youth, I think you just, I didn't really understand what was going on. I got to be honest. I just, you know, I was just going out playing football. It all happened so fast for me as well that I didn't really get time to think about it, which was good because I could just go out and just be myself and play my game really. And that's what the coaches told me to do. But I think if this was to happen now, and I knew what I knew, I think I'd be a lot more nervous, you know, knowing that there's 20,000 people watching you. And, you know, we were in a relegation scrap at the time. So knowing that, you know, if you make a mistake, it can cost the club millions. It can, you know, the club can get relegated, which we did in the end, but more to administration issues. I think the club went into administration, rather than points. So, yeah, I didn't realise how big it was at the time. But I did probably later on. And then I think when I kind of, like, I get nervous for games now for Barry Town, whereas then I wasn't nervous at all. You know, we'd just go on. It was just me and a football rather than me and 30,000 people watching, which is strange. But I look back and I think, I wish I had that now, to be honest. I think I'd play a bit better if I wasn't as conscious of what's going on. So, yeah, not nervous at all, which was strange. But yeah, like I said, it was a great experience. Every time I played for Southampton, it was unbelievable, and it was obviously goals and playing against like Manchester United as well, my heroes. So that was, you know, there's obviously some great times, and I just can't believe that I wasn't nervous, to be honest.
I was going to touch on Manchester United next. I think I read somewhere you said Wayne Rooney was the most impressive player you ever came up against purely because of his determination and so on. I mean, but what was the experience like of playing against your heroes, really? Are you sitting there or watching them in awe sort of thing, or how are you approaching it?
Yeah, again, it was a bit of a blur to me, I've got to be honest. We drew in the FA Cup, and I remember at the time, the third round draw, I believe, was like made in November time, and I was just playing the youth team, nowhere near the first team at the time. I was playing well for the youth team, but nowhere near. And I just remember thinking to myself, "Oh, like I hope I can get two or three tickets to watch this game, like for one of my mates who's a Man United fan, and you know, like my parents and my brother. Sorry, my brother is a big Man United fan, so I thought, oh, if I can get my brother and my mum and dad some tickets, that'd be great. You know, we'd only get two tickets at the time for. There's going to be no tickets for the young lads, is there? So that's what I was thinking at the time in November. I remember, obviously, this happened around December. I got into the first team, and then the game was January. And it was a bit of a blur. And I remember kind of before the game, the captain, Calvin Davis, was like, oh, you know, we get eight tickets or whatever for this game. I was like, what? I could invite the whole family here to watch Man United. So it was great. But I wasn't nervous, which I should have been, really. And it was just another game at the time. I don't know why I was like that. I was just maybe a 15-year-old maybe at the time. And but yeah, like you said, Wayne Rooney was probably he is my football hero, really, Wayne Rooney, I've got to be honest. And at the time he was as well. And I just remember when he was on the bench, actually. He came on in the second half, and they were 3-0 up at the time, cruising. I think we had hardly touched the ball. I think we'd done 10 men as well. So we weren't anywhere near. We weren't even touching the ball. And I remember they went through probably like a 5-minute sloppy period where we had maybe a bit of the ball, didn't even have chances. And I just remember Rooney just screaming at the whole team, just like, you know, going crazy. He was only quite young himself at the time, probably early 20s, you know. And I was just thinking, that's the standard of football. You know, he's not happy because they've had a bad 5 minutes. And it's not even a bad 5 minutes. They've just let us have a few passes because they're 3-0 up. And from then on, I had even more like a bit like in myself, really, then with I'm sure my teammates will probably think the same, that I'm maybe a bit loud and moany, but that's probably one of the reasons why, just watching people like him who have like the highest standards, even though they've done it all. You know, they were Champions League holders at the time. I think they were obviously Premier League holders, and they'd just come back from the World Club Championship and won that. And at the time they were on like this, I think it was the world record run of clean sheets or not allowing goals in. So, you know, they were one of the best. I firmly believe they're one of the best sides, Man United sides of all time. That 2008, 2009 side, you know, Rio, Ferdinand, Vidic, Evra, Gary Neville, Giggs, Scholes, the names are absolutely endless, aren't they? So, like I said, it was an absolute honour to play against them. And, you know, it'll always be the highlight of my career, I think. I think even whatever I'd done in my career, really, I think it would be the highlight. I didn't obviously do much after, but it's, you know, playing against your heroes is every young kid's dream, I'd imagine.
No, absolutely. And I think it's fair to say if there's anything you sort of love more than Manchester United, it's where you're from. You know, you're very proud of your home area and so on. And I mean, you ended up back there. And before we end up talking about the club and your time playing, I mean, why is Barry so special to you? I mean, why is the club so special to you? I mean, I remember you telling me some really nice stories, I think it might have been last year actually, about you climbing the fence and stuff for European games as a kid, just to try and see, you know, your heroes at the time playing at the highest level. So why is the club so special to you?
I just think it's always been a part of me, just because of probably purely how close I live to the ground. So my parents' house is probably literally 100 metres. There's a little window in my bathroom where you can see the floodlights. And I just always remember when Barry would play, you could hear like the tannoy and, you know, people clapping. And it just felt like it was, like they were just like celebrities almost. Because they were really good, obviously, at the time when I was young. They were the premier team in Wales and they were playing European football week year in, year out, winning the league every year. And it just felt like they were celebrities. They'd come into our school, the players would, and they'd be, you know, you'd look up and you'd think, oh my God, these would be the Premier League players of today, like for us. That's what it was like. I know we were just naive young kids, but that's how it felt to me. And I think I always just wanted to be like one of them. I didn't really know that there was, you could possibly be like a professional football player, really. That was the standard, you know, that was what was close to us. And that's what I always wanted to be. And obviously I kind of left it behind a bit then when I kind of became a pro and started playing for Southampton and stuff. But it was always kind of a dream of mine that I could maybe come back and play at some stage at Barry. And then when obviously Barry started to have the problems and go down the leagues, it appealed to me even more, because I thought, oh, this club needs to get back to where it was. And then the opportunity came. But that's why the club means so much to me. I've watched them play European games, not quite legally maybe, but I've watched them through the fence and over the fence, and I'm not ashamed to say that, to be honest. You know, it's that's how much the club meant to me, that I wanted to kind of watch my heroes, if you like, when I was young. And most Barry lads will probably say the same, that, you know, they that's what you'd see in the paper, in the local papers, you'd see them on the back page and on the front page. And you just want to emulate your heroes, don't you, I think? And for us, that was in Barry, that was hero to us.
No, absolutely. I mean, obviously, you studied at Cardiff Met, so you could have signed there. I'm sure Christian tried, but obviously you never did. But you're back at Barry. I mean, was it a difficult conversation for Gav to convince you to go there, or was it just was it just one of those places you always wanted to go anyway?
No, it wasn't difficult. I was really close to joining the year before when they were in Welsh League Division 1. So I think it was the year Cardiff Met got promoted. I think Barry and Cardiff Met were really, really close in the league, maybe, you know, like a point or two in it, maybe. And Cardiff Met eventually got promoted. I think if Barry got promoted, I probably would have joined that year. Not that it's about glory and stuff, but it just wasn't really the right timing. I was at Merthyr Town at the time and really enjoying it there. And then obviously the year after they did get promoted, they won the Welsh Division 1, and it was just the right time. It was the right time, and Gav rung me again that summer, and I was convinced that I was joining Barry anyway before we had even had a chat. So yeah, I just thought coming back into the Cymru Premier League and playing at the highest level, Barry, and hopefully trying to get Barry back to somewhere near where they were in the 90s, if you like, was massive for me. And we're not quite there yet, obviously, but you know, it's going in the right direction. And yeah, we just gotta keep doing it now. And but like I said, that conversation was pretty easy for myself and Gav. We both wanted the same thing, so it was always gonna end up in the same. Well, it was gonna end up with me signing for Barry.
You mentioned you get nervous now when you didn't as a youngster. I mean, is that because, you know, this in a way is your footballing sort of, you know, this was your dream as a kid, wasn't it? So, like you said, to play for Barry. So it's maybe that why you get those nerves now, because you are living that childhood dream in a way.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely it. there's more on it now, I guess. I think when I was playing for Southampton, I was just a young kid, no expectation. All the expectation was on the older lads and the lads who were experienced and who'd done it before. Whereas I guess that's me now. Barry, that is, you know, I'm the lad that, or one, not the lad, but one of the lads who they expect to perform week in, week out. And that probably, that brings pressure. Not as much pressure, obviously, as maybe you're playing in the Championship. But for me, it is because, people speak to me and, if I go to the supermarket and stuff, people will ask, how's Barry going? Lost last week, won this week or whatever, and you're going to get them questions, whether if you play well or if you don't play well, more so if you don't play well, really. So, yeah, it kind of means a bit more because it's so close to me. I wouldn't say I get nervous for every game, but I get nervous, especially the big games. I remember the playoff semi-final at Cardiff Met that we lost in the first year when I was here, and I remember getting nervous. It was probably the first game I really got nervous for. I didn't really know how to deal with it, I've got to be honest. And I underperformed. I don't want to make excuses, but I wasn't quite fit for the game. I'd been injured for a while. I remember missing the Wales C game, and I'd been injured probably for 2-3 months. And I wasn't quite probably fit enough to play, to be honest, but I really wanted to give it a go. I remember that game vividly. Just remember being nervous. Obviously, it was Cardiff Met for me because of my history being a student there and knowing some of the players and the management. For some reason, I just get a lot more nervous playing for Barry, but it's got to be obviously the pressures that come with it being from Barry and knowing most of the fans, knowing what it means to them and what it means to the town.
I mean, it was interesting. I was thinking before we came on about the big moments Barry have had since coming back into the Cymru Premier, and I can't think of many that you weren't at the heart of. I mean, I think the first one, I may have remembered this wrong, but I remember the Bangor game. I think it was the first time I saw, yourself play, and it was the first time I'd seen Barry since they came back to the top level. And I mean, obviously, that was an amazing performance. Mikey Lewis was outstanding in that game, but obviously, you played your part quite crucially as well. So it must mean a lot to you that you are just one of the lads, but it must be nice to you to have come back and to be able to make an impact in such a big way as well.
Yeah, I'd say I put a lot of pressure on myself, actually, when I came back. Because I speak to a lot of my friends are saying, how are you going to do it, Barry? Are you going to perform? And when are you going to score? And they were like a few doubters and probably a few doubts of myself as well, just thinking, am I going to be able to perform at this level? And if I don't, then people are going to question me and this and that. So, yeah, it was good to kind of start well. Although the first two games, I think we lost our first game against... No, we drew against Aberystwyth the first game. And then we lost to Prestatyn away. And I remember that was a real low point. I remember coming back on the coach from Prestatyn and... not being disrespectful to Prestatyn, they did get relegated that season, but I remember speaking to Luke Cooper on the bus on the way home, and I was really down, and I was just thinking, if we finish below them, we're going to be going down this year. And I remember saying that on the bus. But to be fair, from that point onwards, I think we really kicked on. I think Newtown might have been the next game where I scored two of my first goals for Barry, and we won 2-0, and then I think it was Bangor away where we were expected to get, beaten heavily, really, because Bangor were really doing really well at the time. I think they came second the year before, maybe, and they were one of the strong clubs, had a big budget, and were doing really well. And we managed to nick a 1-0. I'd say it was against the run of play. I've got to be honest. We had a few decisions go our way that day as well, but Mikey was great. The back four were solid, and we just managed to get one late. And from that point on, I know we did go on a bit of a poor run after that, but from that point on, we believed that we belonged, really, in the league, and we didn't really ever consider then that we'd be relegated after that. I remember then a couple of months later, we had a win at TNS as well, which is, I think, it was the first time a team had beaten TNS at Park Hall for a long time, and we just had a little bit of belief after that, and I think, I've got to be honest, since then, we've probably carried that belief into every game, and we've grown every game, and obviously our finishing standing in every season's been better than the year before, and we are growing, so yeah, it was a tough start, but then once that, probably after that Bang game, was a bit of a turning point for us, just in terms of our belief.
And I mean, one of the big things that helps you, I think, more than anything else, is the supporters you have. You know, you'll know yourself. I'm down at Jenner Park semi-regularly, I guess, doing games for someone, and I'm normally on that gantry watching. And I don't know what it sounds like to you on the pitch, but to us, the people underneath us with the drums and all this, it sounds like the San Siro. It sounds like it's bouncing for us. And, you know, it makes a difference for us when we come down and watch the games or cover the games and so on. So it must make a big difference for you on the pitch.
Yeah, massively. We always get that at home, but I'd say it probably makes more of a difference away from home when, you know, I remember, I think, a Bangor as well that year when they came up there, and just get a bit of an extra push, you know, especially when it's away from home. At home, we obviously expect it, and it's great. Obviously, it's great at home. It's always good to play in front of your home fans, but I think away from home, you get a, you know, the drums and a bunch of guys and girls coming to watch us, and it makes a huge difference when you just feel a bit more comfortable because you've got a bit of support when you go up to North Wales or West, East, wherever we go. So yeah, definitely away from home, we hear even more because you know there's probably just a select few almost, and they're in probably a little corner of a stadium, and you probably appreciate it more. So we make sure we go over and kind of give them a round of applause at the end of every game as well, just like they have throughout the game. So yeah, I'd say we probably more feel it away from home.
And has your experience of being back at the club matched what you expected it would be? Because, you know, you've had a lot of success. You've done incredibly well. You say you haven't quite got them back to where they were when you were a kid watching them, but, you know, you are back in Europe and regularly now, you know, you can say that. And you've performed very well over the time you've been back in the league. So it must have gone to plan, or perhaps even better.
Yeah. When I signed, I remember Gav saying to me, you know, we want to get this club back into Europe. And we probably both didn't believe that it would happen within a year and a half, 2 years, you know. So it is obviously it's gone to plan. It's gone more than to plan. I think we're ahead of the schedule we probably thought, myself and Gav at the time when I signed, and maybe where the club thought. We probably thought it was just about maybe staying in the league for the first couple of years, especially after a bad start, really. And you know, there was big clubs in the league spending big money, and it was difficult to maybe penetrate that top four, six, if you like, really, which we didn't quite do in the first year. But then in the second year, we were almost in a title race at some stage. And we just grew from there, you know. We were just bouncing week in, week out. And yeah, it's obviously gone, probably the development's been quicker than we thought, and we've attracted real good talent to the club. And we are still, which is, we're continuing to grow. So yeah, like I said, we're not quite where we want to be in terms of like being in Europe. We have been in Europe 2 years in a row, but being in Europe every year, and the next step's obviously got to be to compete in Europe. We can't just be looking to get into Europe every year and not compete. We've got to make sure that we grow where we can maybe get a result in Europe, because that's what's going to make us be remembered. You know, the teams of the past in Barry, the team that are remembered, are the teams that have maybe won in Europe, and the players maybe scored goals in Europe or done things in European football, or maybe won trophies at Barry. So that's got to be the growth for us. We've got to look at maybe winning a trophy or at least get into a final and maybe get a result in Europe. And that would be enough for me almost. But I think we're getting there. I do think we're getting there. And we've got a chance this year where we've got a one-legged tie. So you'd have to say you've probably got a better chance really of causing an upset, because it probably will be an upset. The team, whoever we play, will probably be favourites to beat us. So, you know, in terms of playing over two legs, usually favourites kind of get through them, don't they? You know, you get two bites of the cherry. And with one leg, you know, if anything can happen, you get a good decision, it can change a game. You know, if someone could get sent off and playing against 10 men, you know, early on. So we've got a real chance, and we've got to kind of make sure we're as prepared as possible and give it a real go this year.
And you mentioned, you know, I think it's been perfectly clear in the last half hour that you have had some amazing experiences in football, and you've done a lot that you're rightly very proud of. But where does representing Barry in Europe rank for you, and how special was it for you to have to have not just done it quicker than possible or than you thought was possible, you know, to have had that experience in the way you did.
Yeah, massive. It was huge. I think everyone in the town was talking about it, and it was great. We you know, we had over 1,000 fans. I think it was over 1,500 fans maybe at Leckwith last summer, and that'll live with me forever that day, seeing so many fans come to watch us. The only slight disappointment, I guess, is that it wasn't at Jenner Park where I used to watch them play. But hopefully one day we'll get a European tie and be able to play one there. And that would be probably, you know, the pinnacle for me. But yeah, that was huge, and a dream of mine to play in Europe for Barry. And obviously, like you said, it was quicker than probably we imagined. But again, touching on it, I think we've got to do it again. And what I've dreamt for myself and Barry and watching Barry of past is winning maybe a European tie or winning a trophy at Barry. So yes, it's a highlight of one of the highlights of my career, but I just think there's more to come, and that would be something that I could kind of be content with if we won a trophy and kind of emulated what the Barry teams in the past did.
No, absolutely. And I mean, another very proud experience of yours, which we haven't quite touched on yet, was Wales C. I know you were devastated to miss out the first year. Another very special moment for Barry, though, to have so many players picked, and then obviously to host the first game. But then to go into the second game, another big, you know, big Barry contingent, and obviously you got on the score sheet as well in a very good performance. Arguably could have won the game. You know, must be, you know, you obviously represented Wales as a youngster as well in younger age groups, but to do this at senior level, I know it was something that meant an awful lot to you.
Yeah, like you said, more so because I missed the first game. I remember in the first year, the first year at Barry, we were announced, obviously, that Jenner Park was hosted it, and I was just thinking that would be unbelievable to play for Wales at Barry. But it didn't turn out to be the case for me. But I remember going to watch it, and it was still a real proud moment just to have an international match at Jenner Park. Even though I wasn't involved, and there was still a few, you know, Barry lads that were involved, and it was great to be a part of it, whether I played or not. And I remember watching it, still being proud, you know, and still being proud of the lads who did take part and all putting good performances as well. And then obviously the year after, I was just praying really that I didn't get injured beforehand. And luckily enough, I was fit enough to play and chosen and got on the score sheet. And yeah, it was a huge moment. It was. I always wanted to just get a Wales shirt again, really, and not have to buy it and be able to kind of put it on my wall maybe and actually have earned it, kind of thing. So yeah, it was great. It was great. It was a great experience, I've got to be honest. It was not quite maybe playing at Jenner Park, but Salford's facilities were great. And it was probably maybe more of an experience because we were away and we got to stay in a hotel away. You get that kind of bond with the players, and you know you forge links with players that you maybe don't get to from week to week because you're the rivals on a Saturday. And that was a great week. It was a great week. Obviously a great result as well, and great to get on the score sheet. And we kind of not put the Welsh domestic game on the map, but showed that we can compete with English players of our standard, if you like, semi-pro English players or professional English players, a lot of them. And then we showed that we could compete with them, you know, and go toe-to-toe with them. And like you said, we almost had a chance of winning the game. And I think maybe the English semi-pro lads and pro lads and National League lads now think that the coming Premier League is a league that can be respected, you know. And hopefully if we get to do it again, we can maybe go one better and win the game.
No, absolutely. And turning it back to Barry quickly, I mean, you've obviously got your ambitions personally for what you want to achieve there. You said about things that will make you content. I think you should be quite content already, but each to their own. What is left to achieve, and how does the club grow? Because, you know, you look at TNS and Connors Quay, and, you know, they're investing heavily, they're going full-time or part full-time or whatever you want to call it. Is that something that Barry has to do to achieve the aims that you think you want to achieve?
Every club has their own journey. I think Connors Quay and TNS, in terms of the funds they have, if you like, and the way their clubs are owned, I think they're a lot more, I wouldn't say stable, but they're ahead of us in terms of their finances, and it works for them. At the moment, a full-time model may not work for us, but maybe that is the way in terms of, you know, maybe a five to 10 year plan is the club being full-time again. I don't know. It's not something that I'd be involved in, but yeah, it might be the only way you can compete with TS and Connors Quay. But I think we're getting closer to them. I do think we're getting closer to them with the model we've got now, and we're bringing in younger players. We're attracting players from pro clubs, coming out of pro clubs and coming out of the pro game, and maybe looking to go back into it. So, you know, Macaulay, Southern Hales situation was a case in point, where he came from Cardiff and then really did really well for us and went back into the pro game. And you probably got to keep churning out players like that, keep bringing them down, if you like, and sending them back up to the pro game and helping us on the way, along the way, you know. So we've got 3-4 plus, I'd say, players who are of that caliber now who can go again, you know, and who have come from the pro game or not even the pro game and are ready maybe to step into it. So I think what we're doing right now is good enough to kind of get closer to the top teams. And if you look at the tables from the last 2-3 years, we've not really been that far away. You know, I know TNS are, you know, they're serial winners and they didn't quite win it this year, but they've been the team to beat. And, you know, they're probably a little bit ahead of everyone. I know, like, Connors Quay and Andy Morris and all like that, but I think they're probably still a little bit ahead of everyone in terms of just where the club's at. Maybe not, you know, the results on the pitch, but where the club's at. And that's probably the model we need to get to. And I think Connors Quay, if they're being honest, would look at TNS as a model. That's where they're looking to be, you know, in terms of being full time and having the infrastructure they've got there, and young players joining the club and progressing. That's where we've got to look to. But firstly, we've got to probably be, let's say, the best of the rest. We've got TNS, Connors Quay, and Ballard, and we've got to be near them. But then, better than everybody else, at least, you know, and I think we are at the moment. We've shown that in the last 2 years now that we're probably the third, fourth best team in the league. And we've got to continue doing that, and continue to get as close as possible to Connors Quay and TNS. So we're along the right paths, and it's just a case of building. But we've got a young squad, and maybe there's a few older lads like myself, but there's a young core there which are getting better every year. So I expect us to keep progressing.
And looking at what's to come in 4 or 5 weeks now, I mean, given everything that's gone on over the last few months, is your biggest challenge coming up in a few weeks?
Yeah, it will be. It's the biggest challenge, but it's also the biggest opportunity for us as well. Like I said, it's a one-legged tie. We've got a real chance. And we've got experience now from last year of, you know, we got a draw last year at home, and we've shown that we can compete at that level. Albeit we lost the second leg and quite comfortably, but you know, we'll hopefully get some real good experience from that game. That's got to be taken into this year. And if we can take that into that one game and pull off one performance, which we know we're capable of, you know, we've got a chance of progressing and kind of, I don't want to say put ourselves in Paris folklore, because it's not been Porto or anything like that, but it's our journey, isn't it? It's our history. And if we can get a result and maybe get into the next round, then we'll be remembered, hopefully. And that's what we've got to kind of aim for now, is being the best we can be and being the best Barry team we can be proud of and the fans can be proud of. So yeah, it's a big challenge, obviously. Any game in Europe is a challenge, I'm sure, even for the biggest teams in Europe, you know, the Premier League sides and the Italian, French, German sides, you know, every game in Europe is a challenge, but you've got to look at it as an opportunity as well, because especially for the smaller sides, we win a game in Europe and it's huge for us in terms of finances, for the fans, for the players, you know, having that not on your CV, but, you know, in terms of being able to tell people that you won a game in Europe, maybe, or you scored a goal in Europe, it's something you can remember for a lifetime. So yeah, it's a huge opportunity, and we've got to look at it as that, rather than I think when we went to Ireland last year, we were probably a bit, you know, not scared, but we just felt like it was a challenge, a huge challenge, and we felt like we were up against it from minute one. We were underdogs, and we probably weren't used to an atmosphere like that. which was great. It was a great atmosphere, but we're not really used to maybe, you know, fans being aggressive towards us and fans being right on you in terms of, you know, the ground was real tight and it's taken to this year and I think we'll be better for it.
And just finally, I mentioned to you before we started recording that you had a mention on our podcast a couple of weeks ago where Mark Williams said you were one of the players he admires the most in the league. I mean, you've obviously been back in the league a few years now. I mean, I'm not expecting an exhaustive list here because I'm sure there's quite a few players. There's a lot of talent in the league. But is there anyone that stands out for you as a player that you admire or a manager or a coach or anyone? You can list as many as you like, but is there anyone that stands out for you?
Yeah, Mark Williams, obviously, he's the one that stands out most. Now, Mark's a great player and he seems like a really good lad. I don't know him personally, but you know he's had a real good career. I've got to be honest, I do remember him playing for Wales under 21s when I was young, and I remember just thinking, you know, he plays for Wrexham, but he's playing for Wales under 21s, so he must be a decent player. So I do remember him. Every time you play against TNS, you don't dread it, but you think, you're going to have a tough day today. You know, they're going to keep the ball from you. You're going to be running a lot. And if you do get a result against them, home or away, it's going to be, you know, you're going to have to put a shift in. So Ryan Brobbel, I'd say, is probably the most talented player I think I've played against in the Cymru Premier League. He's, every time we play against him, he stands out. I think most players, and I think a few of the managers have said that he's one of the most talented. I think Andy Morrison might have said that. Andy Morrison and Christian Edwards, I think they're really two talented coaches who have done wonders at their clubs. Cardiff Met, you know, in terms of their model and what Christian's done there, he's done an unbelievable job there. And year after year, they kind of lose players but still compete and improve somehow from losing top players. You know, they lost Roscoe. They lost a midfield lad in the first year, who was quite crucial to them, and they lost Will Evans this year, and I'm sure they'll probably go again and improve. He just seems to get them going again, and obviously what Andy Morrison's done in terms of winning the league, no one kind of saw that coming. So he's done an unbelievable job, and a lot of people probably think his style of football is agricultural, if you like, but I don't see it that way. There's more than one way to play football, and his way works, you know, and I've seen firsthand the level of detail he puts into set pieces and to organisation. And it's not a fluke that they've won the league. You know, they are the most organised side in the league, and they are the best at set pieces. And they're two things that he works religiously on. You know, and absolutely deserve that they won the league. It's always tough playing against them. Always tough playing against Connors Key, probably the toughest, because you know chances, especially as a striker, chances are going to be limited. I think I've probably had two or three chances across the 3 years against Connors Key. That's just how organised they are, and that comes from Andy Morrison. He's great. In terms of players, I like playing against Cardiff Met. There's always a bit of banter, and we always seem to have a good scrap against Cardiff Met. You know, playing against Emin Lewis and Bradley Woolridge, it's always very aggressive and competitive. So I enjoy playing against them. I haven't had much joy against them, I'm going to be honest. I think I've only scored one goal against them since I've been in the league. So they're always tough to play against, Cardiff Met, and admire what they do. Even though they are rivals, they've done really well in the league and do it their own way. So they deserve a mention, yeah. But yeah, in terms of strikers as well, obviously the records that Greg Draper's, Venables and Mike Wilde have are unquestioned, you know, and my record's obviously nowhere near as good as theirs. And so I obviously look at them and kind of look at their games, try to study their games and take a bit of them and put it into myself. And Jamie Insull as well, I think he's come in and done really well in the league. I think he's quite a similar striker to me in that he's almost like a poacher and a bit of a fox in the box and doesn't do much else. But I'm sure you wouldn't mind me saying that. But yeah, he's done really well, and he's come into the league and made it a better league, I'd say, just from in terms of his goals and he likes to chat on the pitch, which I'm sure you'll see when you watch him play. So yeah, there's lots of good players, but I could name loads. Leo Smith, he deserves a mention. I think he's a really good player. TNS have obviously signed him now, and I was excited to kind of see him play in the WLC squad because he's a really good footballer. I remember playing against him. I think he was on loan at Llandudno first. At Llandudno, and was he from? Yeah, on loan from Wrexham. Maybe in my first year, he did really well there. And I remember playing against him and thinking, he's a good player. He's a really good player, and he's obviously signed for Carnarvon and did well as well. But I think we've got probably a few good players as well in our team who are young and who can go on. I don't want to kind of mention too many because some might get upset, but there's a few lads in our team who are still young and have got a chance of playing in the pro game and everyone in our squad as well. So there's obviously, they'll be in and around the Welsh Sea squad as well. So yeah, like I said, there's loads of players. I don't want to bore you too much.
No, not at all. Well, look, I've really enjoyed this. It's been really good to have a chat about your experiences and so on. And I think you're a bit too modest when you say that you've still got things to do to get into Barry folklore for this team. I think this team will be remembered for a long, long time with what you've done in the last 3 years. You know, it's unrealistic to expect that you were going to come back in and, you know, hit the ground running in the way that you're sort of describing. But I think the way you've done it has been, it's been incredible, and you deserve a lot of respect and credit for that. So, thank you very much again for your time. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing you maybe in, I don't know if we'll be allowed to come to the European Games, but might be on telly. I look forward to seeing you soon anyway.
No, thank you, mate. Cheers. Really appreciate it. Yeah, hopefully there'll be fans allowed back in stadium soon, and we can kind of get a good crowd of us at home. If not, then maybe he'll be watching on TV or streaming.
Yeah. No, thank you very much, mate, and all the best.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.